intention of picking up at this hour, that is, until he glimpsed the caller ID display. This ought to be good, he thought, reaching for the receiver. Do we still publish you? Faulkman asked, half serious. Jonas, Robert Langdon's voice sounded anxious. Thank God you're there. I need your help. Faulkman's spirits lifted. You've got pages for me to edit, Robert? Finally. No, I need information. Last year, I connected you with a scientist named Catherine Solomon, the sister of Peter Solomon. Faulkman frowned. No pages. She was looking for a publisher for a book on noetic science. Do you remember her? Faulkman rolled his eyes. Sure, I remember, and thanks a million for that introduction. Not only did she refuse to let me read the results of her research, she didn't want to publish anything until some magical date in the future. Jonas, listen to me. I don't have time. I need Catherine's phone number right now. Do you have it? I've got to warn you, you're acting a little desperate. She's great looking, but you're not going to impress her by... This is no joke, Jonas. I need her number now. All right. Hold on. Faulkman and Langdon had been close friends for enough years that Faulkman knew when Langdon was serious. Jonas typed the name Catherine Solomon into a search window and began scanning the company's email server. I'm looking now, Faulkman said. And for what it's worth, when you call her, you may not want to call from the Harvard pool. It sounds like you're in an asylum. I'm not at the pool. I'm in a tunnel under the U.S. Capitol. Faulkman sensed from Langdon's voice that he was not joking. What is it with this guy? Robert, why can't you just stay home and write? His computer pinged. Okay, hold on. I got it. He moused through the old email thread. It looks like all I have is her cell. I'll take it. Faulkman gave him the number. Thanks, Jonas, Langdon said, sounding grateful. I owe you one. You owe me a manuscript, Robert. Do you have any idea how long... The line went dead. Faulkman stared at the receiver and shook his head. Book publishing would be so much easier without the authors. Chapter 45. Catherine Solomon did a double take when she saw the name on her caller ID. She had imagined the incoming call was from Trish, checking in to explain why she and Christopher Abaddon were taking so long. But the caller was not Trish. Far from it. Catherine felt a blushing smile cross her lips. Could tonight get any stranger? She flipped open her phone. Don't tell me, she said playfully. Bookish bachelor seeking single noetic scientist? Catherine, the deep voice belonged to Robert Langdon. Thank God you're okay. Of course I'm okay, she replied, puzzled. Other than the fact that you never called me after that party at Peter's house last summer. Something has happened tonight. Please listen. His normally smooth voice sounded ragged. I'm so sorry to have to tell you this, but Peter is in serious trouble. Catherine's smile disappeared. What are you talking about? Peter, Langdon hesitated as if searching for words. I don't know how to say it, but he's been taken. I'm not sure how or by whom, but...
Taken?
Catherine demanded. Robert, you're scaring me. Taken where? Taken captive. Langdon's voice cracked as if he were overwhelmed. It must have happened earlier today or maybe yesterday. This isn't funny, she said angrily. My brother is fine. I just spoke to him 15 minutes ago. You did? Langdon sounded stunned.
Yes. He just texted me to say he was coming to the lab.
He texted you, Langdon thought out loud. But you didn't actually hear his voice.
No, but
listen to me. The text you received was not from your brother. Someone has Peter's phone. He's dangerous. Whoever it is tricked me into coming to Washington tonight.
Tricked you? You're not making any sense.
I know, I'm so sorry. Langdon seemed uncharacteristically disoriented. Catherine, I think you could be in danger. Catherine Solomon was sure that Langdon would never joke about something like this, and yet he sounded like he had lost his mind.
I'm fine, she said. I'm locked inside a secure building.
Read me the message you got from Peter's phone, please. Bewildered, Catherine pulled up the text message and read it to Langdon, feeling a chill as she came to the final part referencing Dr. Abaddon.
If available, have Dr. Abaddon join us inside. I trust him fully.
Oh, God. Langdon's voice was laced with fear. Did you invite this man inside?
Yes. My assistant just went out to the lobby to get him. I expect them back any-
Catherine, get out, Langdon yelled. Now!
At the other side of the SMSC inside the security room, a phone began ringing, drowning out the Redskins game. The guard reluctantly pulled out his earbuds one more time. "Lobby," he answered. "This is Kyle."
"Kyle, it's Catherine Solomon."
Her voice sounded anxious, out of breath. "Ma'am, your brother has not yet—"
"Where's Trish?" she demanded. "Can you see her on the monitors?"
The guard rolled his chair over to look at the screens. "She hasn't gotten back to the cube yet?"
"No!"
Catherine shouted, sounding alarmed. The guard now realized that Catherine Solomon was out of breath, as if she were running. What's going on back there? The guard quickly worked the video joystick, skimming through frames of digital video at rapid speed.
"Okay, hold on. Scrolling through playback. I've got Trish with your guest leaving the lobby. They move down the street. Fast forwarding. Okay. They're going into wet pod. Trish uses her keycard to unlock the door. Both of them step into wet pod. Fast forwarding. Okay, here they are coming out of wet pod just a minute ago. Heading down."
He cocked his head, slowing the playback. "Wait a minute. That's odd."
"What?"
"The gentleman came out of wet pod alone."
"Trish stayed inside?"
"Yes, it looks that way. I'm watching your guest now. He's in the hall on his own."
"Where is Trish?"
Catherine asked more frantically. "I don't see her on the video feed," he replied, an edge of anxiety creeping into his voice. He looked back at the screen and noticed that the man's jacket sleeves appeared to be wet, all the way up to his elbows. What in the world did he do in wet pod? The guard watched as the man began to move purposefully down the main hallway toward pod 5, clutching in his hand what looked like a key card. The guard felt the hair on the back of his neck stand on end.
"Miss Solomon, we've got a serious problem."
Tonight was a night of firsts for Catherine Solomon. In 2 years, she had never used her cell phone inside the void, nor had she ever crossed the void at a dead run. At the moment, however, Catherine had a cell phone pressed to her ear while she was dashing blindly along the endless length of carpet. Each time she felt a foot stray from the carpet, she corrected back to center, racing on through the sheer darkness.
"Where is he now?"
Catherine asked the guard, breathless.
"Checking now," the guard replied. "Fast forwarding. Okay, here he is walking down the hall, moving toward pod 5.
Catherine ran harder, hoping to reach the exit before she got trapped back here.
"How long until he gets to the pod 5 entrance?"
The guard paused. "Ma'am, you don't understand. I'm still fast forwarding. This is recorded playback. This already happened." He paused. "Hold on, let me check the entry event monitor." He paused and then said, "Ma'am,